New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1084, and it's the Relevant Podcast here in Orlando. I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, the very haggard, disheveled looking Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello. I'll tell you why soon.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What's happening?
And in Austin, Texas, author, speaker, podcaster, Jamie Ivey.
Hey, guys.
We're all back. I love it. This is fun.
We're all back.
Jesse, why do you look so haggard?
I've been through a lot. Yesterday.
Where do we start? Let's go back four years. I
did have a home appliance store. Derek, I feel like you went through something recently. I had a dishwasher have a massive leak and it's basically destroyed half of my home. But that's probably not the most interesting. I will say this. If you don't have experience uninstalling a dishwasher, I would suggest calling a plumber because you might make the problem way worse for yourself and be sprayed in the face.
Like a commercial right there.
And be sprayed in the face with boiling hot water. I'll also say this.
Wow.
I'll also say this. If you don't know how to turn off the water to your entire home, yeah, I would suggest learning that very quickly.
Learn that today, guys.
It's a good life lesson that, trust me, you'll be glad you knew how to do it when the moment that you need to do it occurs. And so, I feel like everyone's got their home appliance, issues. But no, last night I'm sitting here in my office at the Virginia Beach oceanfront, and I hear all these fire trucks like blasting by, which isn't uncommon in urban areas. Right. You occasionally hear sirens going, no big deal. So I'm sitting here and I start to smell smoke in my office.
Oh.
In your office?
Yeah, the one I'm sitting in right now. And there's only like three of us here. We're working late. And I go outside, to see what is the source of this. And I hear like megaphones, get off the street, evacuate the area. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Dude, I go next door. I walk out the door. The sky, and it's a bright sunny day, a lot like today. Look, you can see outside, a lot of clouds in the sky. It's just like that, bright sunny day. It is black outside, right? Mm. Like there is smoke billowing from the building across the parking lot next door. And
wait. The one across the parking lot is that my Virginia's for Lovers t-shirt.
The other store? Way. That's like you're thinking north, south, think east, west. Yeah. Here, okay.
Got it.
And I see smoke like billowing, right? And flames and everything, right? And I can say this because I went on the news. Only one firefighter had suffered minor injuries, but no one else was hurt. I work at the oceanfront and it's summertime. So there's a lot of people. All these people come running to the fire. Okay. Like usually when there's a fire, they advise you to run away. There are people going, oh, yeah, there's a fire. And they're running like teenagers are sprinting into the smoke, like billow. Like they run into the smoke and disappear. They're making memories, man.
I would do the same thing.
I think they were making TikTok videos. Like they were like filming themselves running into black smoke and just disappearing. And I was like, well, that's probably not the best decision. Our neighbors, I'm hoping insurance covers it all, but it was a t-shirt shop, a pancake restaurant and a seafood place. An entire city block went up in flames. I'll show you guys. Look, I walked over there this morning. An entire city block. Look at that, guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here, I'll show you one more.
Teenagers are, I'm not going to say it.
Say it, because
it's true.
Let's do it.
I got them all at my house.
Teenagers stupid, man. Like I was stupid when I was a teenager, too.
I always say, I always feel bad sometimes when I say teenagers are stupid, but then I always say, and so was I.
I would have did the same thing.
Your brain just doesn't function right in those age brackets.
What does this say about me that I would have absolutely run toward the fire with my phone out? Like, why wouldn't you?
You said, why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't you?
Because I enjoy living.
Yeah, but you're fine. You just get your footage and then you tell a crazy story for the rest
really
of your life.
I love that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they appreciate it.
I'm sure they love that. Yeah.
Potentially perform rescue. No, this one guy, you know, I don't know, 17-ish, came running, did a fist bump in the air, like Tiger Woods just sinking a putt. Okay? Like, imagine Tiger Woods on hole 18 just knocking down that birdie putt for the win. And he does that big fist bump. There's a kid that just went, yeah, did a fist bump and just ran into the smoke and disappeared to go get a closer look.
You
There's
know
other
what
people-
else is bad about that?
Yeah.
Not only are they endangering themselves, they're about to get themselves on a watch list of maybe a potential arson list for why are they so happy this place is up in flames? Well, they got some beef with the waffle shop.
And other people who appeared to be about teenage of age were turning their phones, you know, like, and then back, you know, so they could film themselves and then just backing into the fire, like cheering and saying, hey, everyone, we're going to check out the fire. It was, I don't know what the internet has done to a generation, but it has taught them to go for it.
Oh, I know. It made them more stupid.
Because the more stupid the more stupid things you do on camera, the more likes and clout you're gonna get online. So you take more risks, you know. Yeah,
I mean, I watched this video of I tell you though, if you want to see the bar for humanity, just go and scroll on a TikTok live. Just and you're on TikTok, just hit the when you see the people being live, just go on there and just scroll up. I mean, you're going to have anything from ASMR to people smelling their underarms for likes, like crazy stuff like this. I saw a girl trying to flat iron popcorn. Like she tried to pop corn with a flat iron.
How to work out out of curiosity.
You know what? I just didn't. I didn't spend a lot of time there, but I'm like,
stay that long.
It's like that. It's like literally the internet has been like, yo, all right, we'll see how dumb we can make them look for entertainment.
Wait, so a flat iron, is that the like clampy the girls, thing that's
yeah,
hot?
Yeah, they clamp their hair.
Yeah. Straighten their hair.
And she put popcorn in there and she's holding the flat iron. Waiting for it to pop.
I like it. That sounds smart.
And this whole time she's like talking, but she's like doing something weird. Like I gotta send y'all the video. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
If you're stuck in a hotel room and you need a little snacky snack, you know, just got to do what you got
to
do, man.
Or just go to the lobby and get the Jiffy Pop or Pop Secret. Throw it in a microwave. It's no problem,
Jesse. What does it say that everywhere you are, office or home, buildings are being destroyed?
Whoa.
I mean, whoa. You know, are you suggesting it's some sort of like unbreakable situation
plague?
Like the film?
Yeah, I don't know. Wow.
Where I'm being tested for my superhero
abilities.
Where else
has he been that a building has been destroyed? There was
his home.
Well, the dishwasher.
His dishwasher destroyed his
two
downstairs.
Rooms.
All right, hold up now. You know, I just went through a water leak. That could happen to anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to count that against him.
Did a city block directly next door to where you're working? They didn't put out. The fire started at 5:00. They didn't put it out till 10 last night.
Yeah, bro, wow. I don't know what to tell you.
Do
bro,
they know what started it yet?
No, not
besides
yet.
Besides those teenagers?
Well, it's two restaurants, so I mean, there is fire.
I think what I've heard is that there's like a t-shirt screen printing. Like you can get... As Cameron knows, there's a lot of novelty t-shirts. And the novelty t-shirt business on the Virginia Beach boardwalk, oceanfront boardwalk, is booming right now. Most of them are wildly inappropriate. Like, I am shocked that in the era of political correctness that we currently live in, that federal booty inspector shorts can just be sold at large.
Yeah, for sure.
To people, to like tourists on the beach.
And
but,
that's keeping it light. I'd have seen some crazy stuff when I was
trust
in LA.
Me. Hey, I'm self-censoring here. But there's a lot of t-shirt, and I'm not suggesting, but I'm just saying there's a lot of t-shirt screen printing of like, you can basically get whatever you want. Some people are speculating maybe one of like the screen printers caught on fire. Who knows, man? Well, I'm sure they'll find it. I do feel bad for the business owner. So hopefully, it's horrible. One of those restaurants has been, the same couple has managed it for like 35 years. And so prayers up for them. Hopefully insurance takes care of them because it was a big mess.
Derek, the difference between the LA novelty t-shirts and the Virginia Beach novelty shirt shops is that when you go into the beach shops in Virginia Beach, there's Confederate flags in the mix.
That's not and true. Well, no,
that is true. There is Confederate flags in the place where I got my Virginia's for Lovers shirt.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny, but I would say that, like I said, the ocean front. I mean, we just hosted something in the water. Like, it's a pretty progressive, you know, diverse area here. But I will say this: there's a lot of t-shirt shop owners that like poking the bear with their t-shirts.
There's a bunch of Trump stuff. It was like surfy stuff, Virginia Beach souvenir stuff, and then like Trump and Confederate flag stuff all in the same store.
I think it depends on which one you go to. Yeah.
It's Virginia. Yeah. Now, come on, y'all. Right, it's Virginia. We know it's Virginia. But speaking of restaurants, so y'all know Nashville hot chicken is like, it's everywhere. I mean,
right. Yeah.
And it's a thing. First, I'm going to say, if I come to your city, please do not ask me, do I want to go get hot chicken? The answer is no.
Right.
I'm from where it was invented. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want no facsimile. I just go get the real thing when I get home. But for those of you that don't know, the original is Prince's. That's who created it. Prince's Hot Chicken. And the original location, we're talking about buildings being destroyed. It was destroyed because somebody ran a car through it. It was in the hood.
There's
another location, but you know, that's how Prince's got out of here. So I definitely feel bad for that couple, because I remember when Prince's shut down, I was like, dang, that's messed up. Like, somebody literally just, I guess, lost control. It was in the middle of the hood. It was out east. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't no telling what happened.
Literally on the corner of my neighborhood, we have this weird intersection that's kind of like a 5-point intersection. They're going to do a roundabout. It's just a very strange intersection. So the road curves at an, or comes in at an angle, and then you got to like kind of veer and turn to continue on the road.
But if
you don't veer or turn, you go straight into a liquor store. And two days ago, a car must have been going crazy fast in the middle of the night and just blew right through the intersection, went through a wall, jumped a concrete wall, and went into the front door of the liquor store.
You said like, jump. How did it jump a concrete? How big was the wall?
It was like going like 50 miles an hour. And it was like one of those half walls, like a
barrier, just a border, almost, really.
A barrier. Yeah. And it smashed through it. And then went into the liquor store. The car was sticking out of the liquor store yesterday. Like, it was, like, they hadn't removed it yet. So,
hey man, people going crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry about your block, Jesse. But just a note to anybody who's a friend or family of Jesse's, maybe don't invite him over to any of buildings that you value.
I would let things cool down for a little bit because my neighbor also, his washing machine broke last night. And I actually have an extra washing machine in my garage. Long story. It's been sitting there for 5 years. It's like a shelf now. So I helped install it at my buddy's house last night. I had two different neighbors, come to think of it, that lost their washing machines last week.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad they have you for a neighbor.
I know. Well, the other one had to go.
I don't even want to know why you have an extra washing machine just chilling in the garage. I'm just, like, is that for the money laundering situation? Like,
I would say this. It's too long of a story, and I don't want to reveal publicly while I have some old appliances just lying around for just in case.
You cleaning the money up literally, right?
Just in case.
He misunderstood what money laundering was. He's like, and he doesn't deposit his paycheck. He takes it home, puts it in the spare washer.
Good luck coming after me, Uncle Sam. This is clean.
So
that's not clean, bro.
So hold on, camera. So you're telling me if you don't put your paychecks into the washing machine, you still have to pay taxes on it? Because that was not my understanding. I grossly misunderstood the plot of Breaking Bad.
For real.
Yeah, why'd they buy a car wash? All right. Okay, so we have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Benjamin William Hastings, worship leader. He has a new project coming out. You may know him from doing stuff with Hillsong United.
He got two first names. I don't trust him.
Oh.
he did the big song So Will I. He did Seasons, stuff like that with Hillsong. He's got a solo project coming out. We talked to him about that. We also have your feedback at the end of the show, but stay tuned. Right now, Emily joins us for Relevant Buzz.
Blame it on myself.
You're listening to Local Natives. The song is Empty Mansions.
Where bold women thrive, Sweetbriar College empowers women to lead with purpose and integrity. Our 2,847-acre campus is more than beautiful. It's a place to grow in courage, character, and calling. With hands-on academics, a close-knit community, and spaces like vineyards, greenhouses, and equestrian arenas, Sweetbriar blends tradition with vision. Founded in 1901, we've always believed in the power of women to shape a better world, faithfully, fearlessly, and together. Find out more at sbc.edu.
Okay, please welcome to the show, Downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
Emily, welcome to the show, and I'm very, very excited to hear what we got buzzing right now. But I do have, I want to circle back on something Derek just said. Like, he said, I don't trust him because he's got three names. Is that because, like, the old thing, whenever there's, like, a criminal, like a serial killer or something, John Wayne Gacy or whatever, like, it's
James
three
Earl
names.
Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second.
He's safe. No, don't put that on him.
No, he's safe.
But is that the thinking, Derek?
Yes.
Because I've always thought, is that because, are all these serial killers, you know, John Wilkes, but, you know, you go through history, right? They all, it's three names, right? Is it because, like, the reporters, like let's say for this incident, like if I was brought in to discuss the fire, okay, and the news reported it, would they say a local man, Jesse Blaine Carey, like they would say my name because that's what, like, my birth certificate says? Do they ever get the chance in court to be like, you know, it's not, I don't really go by the middle name. That's kind of just I think the reporters picked up on that. I've always wondered that. I know it's a strange thing to just ponder.
I feel like some people go by two names though. It's like
Mary Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
Mary Kate
some
Olson. Too. Yeah. And
some
Ashley.
Too, but I'm talking about all these criminals with three names. Do they go by the three names, or is it just like that was what the court document said?
He's like, hey, I'm John, actually.
Yeah. Listen, I'm John Gacy, the Wayne. Listen, I don't dispute my horrible crimes, but I never went by the Wayne thing.
I think they probably have much more important things to deal with than the pronouncing of their names. So
yeah, I would assume
they probably don't really correct it. But yeah, that makes sense.
But you know what I'm saying? Like John Wilkes Booth sounds like someone who assassinated a president. John Booth. Just sounds like
a guy.
The guy,
a regular,
you know,
old neighbor.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's just John Booth over there. I don't.
Like James Earl Jones. So they call him James Earl. His friends. So they call him James, Jimmy. No,
or like at what point did Jones. He start or going by Jones. The full name?
That's his family definitely called him James Earl for sure. James Earl, get over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I have a friend Tara Lee, and she goes by Tara Lee. Like she's like, don't call me Tara. It's Tara Lee.
Uh huh.
That's a Southern thing.
Serial killer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. Killer. Well, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right. Tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
There's an interesting new Gallup poll that I want to talk about. So every year, Gallup polls Americans on their confidence in various institutions like Congress, public education, media, small businesses, and of course the church. And this year, it looks like only one third of Americans, 32%, have faith in the church. So one out of every three Americans has faith. And
wait, like the what version
like
of
trust.
Faith? Trust the church.
Trust the church.
Trust the church. Yeah, like confidence
in
the church.
I would think that a higher percentage of people in the church have faith. So right. You're saying...
So this is not...
32% of Americans trust the church as an institution.
Right, yeah. Just kind of trust them, you know, to do the right thing, make good choices, things like that. And only one in third...
Not rape little boys, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
That one.
Coming in hot.
I mean, that would
that's included
trust.
In it. Yeah. And that's, you know, Gallup doesn't go into why that number is so low, but I think, you know, we all read the news.
How do you get these polls? That's the thing. I want to know who they're polling. Like every time I see a poll, like nobody ever asks me,
poll?
Do I want to be in the poll? I'm like, yeah. No, for
I know,
real,
I've
I
never
wanna
been
know,
in a poll
I want to know
either.
Who are they sampling? Because nobody I know ever gets any of these polls.
Ask
like,
Gallup.
Nobody has been like, hey, I signed a Gallup poll, like, and said, you know what I mean?
It's interesting that you point that out. I'm friends with Dave Kinneman over at Barna, and he told me years ago that, because you have to do a scientific sampling. You can't just like do an online poll or something like that, because it's not scientific. So the hard sampling thing is you got a cold call, phone numbers. But he said it's gotten so hard because everybody now doesn't answer numbers they don't have on their phone. And so he's like, polling has gotten to be very, very difficult because probably, Derek, you are getting calls from pollsters and you just aren't answering them and they don't leave voicemails, you know?
Can I, there's an easy solution for this because I'm not answering, there's no way I'm answering a number, right?
Like, leave me
a
voicemail. Right. No way.
But I will say this. I've gotten plenty of texts from the wrong number. I always text back. Like, you know, or you ever end up on a rando thread? Like, you know, it's a bunch of family members like planning a party and somehow you're a number neighbor of cousin John. Mm. And it's like, you know, I always like, I'm bringing potato salad. Can't wait, y'all. And then like, who's this? Oh, it's me. Is this the date right? Because I thought I just like mixing it up because it has happened. If I was on a random text thread and just said, hey, y'all, you all got faith in the church? What's up? And it's just a bunch of numbers. And I was like, nah. Does that count? I mean, how is that not a scientific? And why isn't
think about who would answer one of those calls? Old people.
Yeah.
So to me, all this data is skewed because of who actually is answering the questions. Then they go, well, it was a random sampling of 1,500 Americans, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, who actually picked up the phone? The weirdos.
1,500 grannies.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, I don't trust it.
But why is phone calling valid and just randomly texting people not?
Hey, but I'm gonna tell y'all, the random texts are getting on my nerves. Like I don't know. Like sometimes I'll get like texts. I don't even know how I got on the list. But people, it's like, hey, this is your senator, and we just want to let you know that blah 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 blah. Or hey, we're voting for this. We want to know, did you want to vote for that? And then it's random. It's random. There's like senators that'll text. Then it's like somebody will text me and say, hey, your Amazon account is locked up. We know those are scams. I'm like, how do we get our information out of all of that stuff? Like, I'm sick of it. There has to be something to be done. When it was email, I'm like, okay, cool. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But the text messaging junk mail is OD. Like, it's
just reply back, stop. And I think they take you off.
I'll reply back with some other choice words.
My iPhone says delete and report junk. And
I do
just,
it.
Yeah.
It'll just block it.
I think there are programs. You know what it is, Derek?
A lot of the ones I get are for the person who had my number before me. Because they keep referencing the same girl's name, like when I get the spammy ones. So I think that's part of it. But
I think there are programs to like block your phone from stuff like that, but those programs themselves seem a little scammy, so I don't know if I would trust them.
They seem spammy as a
And then if you block your phone, you're never going to get on a survey. Right. You're never going to be able to talk to Mr. Gallup if you do that.
I'm cool.
Okay, back to the survey, Emily. I'm not surprised by this number in the like at all. I think that coming out of the last like 8-10 years, the church in general has been greatly misrepresented. Or should I say even like used and abused for people's power and leveraging of their own platforms. And so I'm not surprised that a random person gets a phone call and says, hey, do you trust the institution of the church? I don't feel surprised that they would say
especially
no.
The American church. I feel the same way.
That's what I mean.
I'm involved in my church. I'm passionate about my faith. And if somebody was to ask me blankly, do you trust the American church? I would think about the politicalization of the church. I would think about the abuse of the church. I would think about the scandals in recent years. I would say, I don't know that I trust the big C American church today. I trust my church and my pastor, but I don't trust all those crazy ones. You know what I mean? So it's like, I agree. 2/3 of Americans saying they don't trust the church makes total sense. Yeah.
I'm reading right now. I told you guys before we started recording, I'm reading Losing Our Religion, An Altar Call for Evangelical America by Russell Moore. And he talks a lot about the way that the church has been used for political power and how damaging that is to what we actually know to be the truth of the church. It's just like people trying to cling to the blood of Jesus when they don't actually even believe in the blood of Jesus and using, you know, people will associate, oh, if you're an evangelical, then you're a Republican. If you're an evangelical, then you want to make America great again. If you're an evangelical, then you want to vote for Trump. And that's not fair for anyone, obviously, but it's
happening. And to be fair, it's extreme on both sides because some of the some of the far left church stuff is crazy. You're just like, bruh, what? You know what I mean? Like it's I don't know if I don't trust the church as much. I went through that phase, I guess, the deconstructing thing. Now I think I'm just like humans in general. It's because the church is full of humans.
Yeah.
But I think about it, like the church is full of humans, yeah, right? And it's like, regardless, all right, say you got a church full of 1,000 people. And if one person or four or five people in that church do something just devastating, some of the things that we've seen, well, then now we just throw that whole church out and say, well, that church is trash. And it's like, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think it's just the propensity for humans to do egregious things, the church isn't insulated from that. But I think we have this expectation that the church is insulated from that because of what we believe and who we believe in. So I don't know. It's a lot of nuance and a lot of things that I've been wrestling with lately, but that's where I've kind of landed.
But
so
if
far.
They did get some young people to answer these phone calls, even if they weren't all grannies, if they got some young people coming out of 2000, you know, 14, 15, 16 and on, so many young people were saying, hey, like the people who taught me to love Jesus and follow Jesus, I don't understand why they now are like putting aside so many of their ideas about what it means to be a follower of Jesus just mm-hmm. to support one political candidate. Mm-hmm. So younger people, the younger generation is going, wait, I'm confused. Like you do follow Jesus, but this is okay. And you're okay. Like, so I can see that tension that people are bringing to the table with the way that, quite frankly, the Republican Party attached itself into a lot of evangelical pastors who were willing to say, hey, I'm willing to get in bed with you because whatever it takes.
What?
And it's been damaging.
I think it's that. And I also think it's the way people, even not the people that are in power, linking up with political, you know, whatever. But it's just the way a lot of Christians have just acted lately. Like, it's almost like when they're online or in, like when you're in church, you see them, you're like, oh, she's so sweet. Uh-huh. And it's almost like a different persona online. But for the young people, that's their life online and off. It's the same. Mm. But I think for a lot of older people, it feels like they got two different lives. So you're like, damn, Miss Betty, why in the world would you repost that? And she's like, oh, it's just a repost. She doesn't know mm-hmm. like that's actually, you know, that actually she's judged for that. People are like, yo, that's what you think fully. And she may not even read the whole article. It could be like mm-hmm. one little couple lines that she agreed with, and it could be all these other things in there. So I don't know. We live in a crazy time.
Dang, Miss Betty.
Miss Betty, yeah. Trip.
I think real quick, just, I think we kind of have a shallow understanding of what it means to use the Lord's name in vain. Like, I think we've reduced it to just saying OMG. When you use his name or his church, you know, for some sort of political or monetary gain, I think that also constitutes using it in vain. And I think because, you know, again, I feel like there's a lot of reductionism, especially when you're a young Christian, like very black and white binary understanding of some biblical principles. Like it has been reduced to just saying a phrase. Like that phrase is so bad that it's in the Ten Commandments, or maybe there's more to it that God is warning us is a very dangerous thing to do. You know,
I do want to go back to Derek's point about kind of this like distrust in humans, because I do think it is important to put a little context with this. There were 16 institutions that Americans were asked about. Church did come in at number 5, like as in the most trusted. So there are 11 other institutions that Americans trust even less.
What are the 4 that are more trustworthy
than
the church?
Small businesses was by far the biggest one. So that has about 2/3 of American trust small businesses. Followed by...
If y'all trust small business? Hey, look, I'm a small business owner. I'm going to let you know. I don't know if I'm going to put small business above the church.
Well, it's just 2/3. It's just 2/3.
I bet.
Then followed by the military, the police, and the medical system.
The military police. And the police.
Yeah, they're trusted more than the church.
Oh, man. Ooh. I don't know who they
are. I'll leave that there. At the low end, the bottom 3 are television news, big business, and Congress, which only had 8% of American trust.
But 8%. To be fair, around the table, if someone said which institution, if you had to say, I have the most trust in out of any major social institution, what would it be? I honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know what that would be.
I don't either.
You know, I had a pretty good experience at the Arizona Pembroke Little League Association last year, but that was only like 18.
You know what? I wouldn't trust at all anywhere near any building that I owned is Jesse Carey, because he
all-time low.
Yeah.
I sent out text to random numbers on one big thread and say, hey guys, what do you think of Jesse Blaine Carey? And it's terrible feedback. It's, you know,
terrible.
You should have done just, shouldn't have done the three names. You should have just done Jesse Carey. Mm. Then
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Would everyone thought that Lee Oswald assassinated Kennedy? Or Lee Harvey Oswald, that guy sounds like a psycho, you know? Yeah.
All right, what else do you have, Emily?
Have you guys heard about Alliance University shutting down?
I don't even know what Alliance University
Vaguely,
is.
Vaguely, I think I read something.
NIAC College in New York is a Christian college that got rebranded as Alliance University a few years ago. NIAC College, when we read this article, Jesse, I'm like, NIAC, what is that? Remember our cover story with Father John Misty?
Yeah.
Indie artist, Father John Misty? He went to the Christian college, NIAC College.
And he's and a like, priest?
No. Father John Misty is like a huge indie artist. Like he's a big mainstream indie artist.
Okay.
And his name is ironic, you know, like his artist name is ironic. And he grew up in the church and he went to NIAC College and then left the church, and a lot of his music wrestles with that, like that deconstruction of his faith and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I was at his house and studio for 8 hours doing this cover story a few years back, and he talked a lot about his experience at NIAC College. So when this article came out, I was like, that's Father John Misty's school. It just went out of business. Anyway, go ahead, Emily. Sorry.
Yes. What's so significant about the school?
Yeah. So I was going to say, I'm sure y'all are probably wondering why the heck am I talking about this random school? Mm-hmm. So this Christian college, it lost its accreditation, will be closing its doors the end of summer. This is the 19th Christian college to shut down since the start of COVID.
Wow.
So this is a big trend.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. King's College in New York City just lost their accreditation and their trustees are
trying to figure out a way to maybe stay open.
The doors.
So how are they losing their accreditation? Is it because they're not paying enough or
no? So you lose your accreditation when you don't maintain whatever like standards or regulations are set by the higher ed commission that's over you. And so these are things like, are there adequate resources for students? Is there a healthy staff to student ratio? And I know since COVID, mm-hmm. there's been a lot more regulations on, can you provide the same quality of education online and in person, which I think is where a lot of these colleges, mm-hmm. especially smaller ones, like that technology is not cheap. Mm-hmm. And so
you just can't do it. Yeah.
It's hard to do, right. And you have a limited staff, like that's a lot. And so a lot of these colleges are losing their accreditation. And when you lose your accreditation, you lose federal funding, which means you can't offer as much student aid, which means you have lower enrollment, which means
it's a death spiral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just tough. So,
and your degree is worthless. I mean, it's a non-accredited degree, you know. It's interesting because we're seeing this, you know, like there's a tipping point that's happening with higher education that it's like, you know, there's going to be the haves and have nots. Like certain schools with resources are going to thrive in this new era. And a lot of these smaller colleges, which a lot of them are Christian colleges, just can't keep up. And they're shutting their doors.
Some are merging, but that is such a long process that by the time they realize they need to merge, it's almost too late.
It's too late. Yeah.
It's too late. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, anyway, that's sad.
So that's an sad. Upper.
If you have a degree from a college that is no longer in existence,
you're good.
Like, you're good.
Yeah. As long as it was accredited while you were there, your degree.
Do you need a degree in 2023?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's what we talked about last night with our kids. Yeah. Like, I've never. Well, yeah.
Again.
Well,
one time I've been like, before you mix my song or before you play this guitar or before you do this marketing, I need to see your degree because you're really good at what you're doing. But that piece of paper. It matters.
There really are so few jobs. I think there's less jobs these days that really require a degree, you know, level of some sort of higher
education.
Obviously,
law, medicine, certain things, industries, for sure.
Please have a degree if you're a doctor.
Yeah.
Then I also say this, even if you're a doctor, Now you gotta have a degree. Like, I'm not gonna just walk it, but your degree don't mean, I mean, it's really based on performance. Cause your degree, that, like, just because a doctor has a good degree does not mean that I want that person to look at me or diagnose me because they may be, cause my wife is a pharmacist. Some of these doctors at school, I'm like, bro, you will never prescribe me anything. I don't even want Tylenol from you, bro. Like that. Like, some of these people was, just because you got a piece of paper does not mean you're smart. I'm just going to say that.
That's true.
Well, I have a question for you guys about degree. This actually talked about this at our table last night. I'm assuming that some of you, or most of you, maybe all of you, have graduated from a college.
Yeah, I did.
Do you have your actual degree? Like, I envisioned when I was like 18 that I was going to like frame it, and it was going to be in an office, all the things. Do any of you have your degree framed and hanging up?
Yes.
Oh, Emily's getting hers. No. Yes, y'all do.
I actually don't.
I have no idea where mine is.
I don't have one. This is not my degree, but it looks like it. This is a certificate I got from a university for a different thing that I pretend is my degree. My dad has my degree because my brother and I gave our degrees to him as like a present, because it was a really big deal that we went to college.
Does anyone have theirs hanging on their wall?
I do. Yeah, ours is
Derek does.
Me and my wife's over the fireplace. A lot of that is because for me, I went to school on a scholarship. I almost quit because I felt the same way now about college that I did back then. But, you know, my mom, she was kind of bent out of shape because I would be one of the first black men in our family, you know what I'm saying, to graduate in that way. So, like, for me, it's not the degree, but it's what the degree stands for. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I went through it. Yeah. But, you know, and I went to school for free, so I don't really have nothing to complain about, you know.
I'll say this, though. As someone who's conducted job interviews for candidates for different positions over the years, I've never verified anything their degree.
Exactly.
And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't even know about how to go about it. Well, I just cold call the college. Hey, man, Lee Oswald, go there. I don't know. How do I tell? Like, you know, are they allowed to, if someone randomly calls a college, are they just allowed to disclose if someone went there? I don't know the rules about that. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, Johnny Jones applied for a job. Can you tell me what year he graduated? Or is it a privacy thing? I don't even know. You could probably just go through life telling people you went to a random college, and I don't know if anyone would ever question it or even know how to verify it.
If I go get a job, I'm putting Harvard on mine, because I know you can't just call Harvard up and just be like, oh, yeah, we're going to. I mean, what was that politician that said he had a Harvard degree and nobody researched?
Yeah.
Santos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody researched him. They was like, I bet.
He made it all the way to, this is why people don't have trust in Congress, because they lie.
He got the job before anyone even checked into it.
Right. And that's a government official. So they're not checking a government official. They definitely not checking you going to work at a cubicle.
Like, think about it.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody can say that they got a doctorate from Alliance University from now on, because there won't be anybody to answer the phone to check it.
Sure. All right. That's crazy. I need to find
it.
Dr. Strang.
But that's
that a movie like Dr. Accepted or something like that? Don't they have a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like one of them coming of age movies in the 2000s? Yeah. Something similar like that.
But let's switch it real quick. What if University of Michigan is really good, and people are giving me hate. They're saying I'm a bandwagon fan, right? Like, because I'm cheering for Michigan this year. I'm just going to start telling people I went to Michigan. They have no way to verify that I did.
No clue.
Now I'm not a bandwagon fan. I'm not doing it for professional gain. Because one thing, if an employer can call the school, I can't have some guy at the sports bar be like, hey, man, this guy says he went to Michigan because he's rooting for him and he's decked out and they're playing Florida this weekend. Did he really go? They're playing Ohio State. Did he really go there? Because I really did go to Ohio State. Like, Michigan's going to tell him. This is an interesting loophole we found here.
Interesting.
I like it.
All right. What else do you have, Emily?
The last thing I want to talk about is Spider-Man. I actually probably should be honest.
Which one?
It's not really Spider-Man. It is Tom Holland, though. That was how I was trying to get you interested.
I saw this, though. This is a good story.
It is a good story. Tom Holland is promoting a new show, The Crowded Room. And so he's been doing a lot of interviews. But there's one particular interview I want to talk about where he opened up about his recent journey to becoming sober. Now, he is only 27 years old, but for the last year and a half, he's been completely sober. And he just opened up a lot about his addiction and his journey to becoming sober that I just really kind of want to highlight some of the things he said. So first off, he does say that he was definitely addicted to alcohol. He said, all I could think about was having a drink. I was waking up thinking about it. I was checking the clock when it's just 12 p.m. It just really scared me. Last January, he challenged himself to a dry January. And he said it was super hard. And just in that month, like, he really struggled and he realized that something needed to change. So he ended up challenging himself to not drink until his birthday on June 1st. So 6 whole months of being sober. And he said during those months, he just got a lot of clarity and started evaluating why he was so obsessed with drinking. And he realized a lot of it actually stemmed from social anxiety and just being in, being around people and feeling uncomfortable. And so he started working on that. And then by the time that his birthday came around, he was just in a much better place physically, mentally, emotionally. And so he's decided to stay sober. So, like I said, a year and a half of sobriety, still going.
Good for him.
And so one, not only is this just like a really interesting story, but it is cool because it sort of highlights this trend that's going on with the younger generation. Gen Z statistically drinks around 20% less than millennials did at their age. So they are practicing, maybe not necessarily full sobriety, but at least like a sober curiosity mindset is what people are calling it, where
sober curious.
Where they're realizing, you know, I don't need to get blackout drunk all the time. I can maybe drink a little less or not at all. So it's just,
that's great.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Proud of him.
It always surprises me that I said this to Emily yesterday. Like, it always surprises me when somebody who's very, very fit says that they were addicted to alcohol, because it's like so high calorie. Like, how could you be drinking so much that you're an addict and you are as fit as you are? I don't get that. You know what I mean?
Liquor.
But liquor is super dense calorie. Like,
yeah, but it gets you, beer. Gets you there.
Not as bad as beer and wine.
Beer is crazy. Yeah. Beer is crazy. If you get drunk off beer, you just drank 3 loaves of bread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think Tom Holland has like muffins.
Tom Holland also has like a Spider-Man. Like, the Marvel workout routine is, I think, next level. Nice. So
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, that'll do it for Relevant Buzz. For more, check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday. We're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Stay tuned. Up next, Benjamin William Hastings joins us. I can never let the pain get the best of me. But I've been walking through the flame, I can feel the heat. I feel the pressure keep on coming. I keep it pushing like it's nothing. I've been through mountains and valleys, I've seen the top. And low is the lows, trying to bring heaven on earth. Going through hell in my home, pop still calling and checking in, asking how I'm doing. Don't want to tell him the truth, tell him I'm going through it. I call on the Father, headed to the heavens, trying to get to you. And at the promises, you made it true. And that my family gon' make it through. Free my spirit, free my mind. You're listening to Heaven on Earth. What up, RG, Aklesso, and Not Clyde. The song is Free My Spirit. Well, today's episode is brought to you in part by Sanctuary Mental Health Ministries. Mental health and faith are big topics to cover, even more so when you're talking with teenagers. The Sanctuary Youth Series helps youth leaders, pastors, teachers, and parents break it down, covering topics like a theology of mental health, emotions, stigma, recovery, friendship, self-care, and more. The Sanctuary Youth Series is an 8-week resource designed for 11 to 15-year-olds. Help the next generation experience the church as a supportive space for mental health. Run the Sanctuary Youth Series today at sanctuarymentalhealth.org/relevant. Again, that's sanctuarymentalhealth.org/relevant. Are you a recent college grad or about to graduate from college and have no idea what's next? Check out the Global Ambassador Program, or GAP, with ELIC. GAP is a professional development program that will help you gain the tools you need for a lifetime of impact. Be immersed in the cultures of Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan for 9 months as you take language classes, grow in your faith, and serve the local community alongside a team of other Christian young professionals. And get this, ELIC recently opened applications for 2026. You could be on a plane next summer, impacting lives and reaching your fullest potential. To learn more about GAP and take the next step, go to elic.org/relevant. That's elic.org/relevant. Well, our guest today is Benjamin William Hastings. He's one of our favorite worship artists. He's part of some of the huge Hillsong United songs in recent years. And he has a brand new solo album that's releasing today. It is called Songs You Maybe Didn't Know I Wrote and Some You Maybe Did. He sat down with Emily to talk about the project and how he's pushing himself to be a better worship artist. Here's our conversation with Benjamin William Hastings.
And as you speak, a 100 billion galaxies are born.
You know, you're obviously a singer and a songwriter. You know, I'm curious, do you prefer one over the other?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually. I think I've really enjoyed kind of stepping into the artist thing. It's been really enjoyable and really fun to express myself in different ways and kind of dig into some things that wouldn't really have made sense for me to do with the other things I've done in the past. But I do love songwriting, and I kind of miss that period of life where I was really just writing for other people, and it's just like a really nice, like healthy detachment, I guess. From it's like you do something, you work really hard on it, you make it, and then somebody else kind of takes it from there and does all the hard work. And I do miss like the ease of it. When I was a songwriter, like just doing that, it felt more like a normal job. Like it was a bit more of like a 9-to-5. And a very great 9-to-5, like very lucky to. But this is kind of all consuming now, and it never stops. And it's all pros and cons. So
right, yeah,
I think I'd really miss it if I wasn't doing it. But yeah, I do miss the days where I was just, you know, writing and then could actually fit, like I'd have time to like go to the movies or like play golf or like, you know,
do other
see
things.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. What made you decide to like step into singing song, like not just songwriting?
Yeah. Well, it was a couple of things. The first song I sang was, I think it was the first, or it was the first kind of, anyway, was with United, and it was So Alive. And that was
your first song?
I think so. It wasn't the first song I wrote, but that was the first one. I think I maybe sang one before that on something else, but it wasn't very good. So that was kind of the first, and I wasn't even meant to sing it. It was, I was just meant to do the, like we just wrote it, and I just thought I was recording the demo. And so we were just kind of in the booth, I'm recording the demo, whatever. And at the time I remember thinking, this is a really comprehensive demo. But like, I guess maybe this is just how they do stuff. Like, I hadn't really worked with any of the guys before. This is the first time I'd written with. It took us like a long time to write it, but that process was the first time I'd written with Joel. And so, anyway, I did it. And I guess at some point in recording the demo, those guys were like, "Oh, maybe he just sings this," but they never told me that. So I recorded the demo, and then my voice just never went away. And it was like a couple of days before the album came out. And I was like, wait, am I singing this? Like what has happened here? And it was really funny for like years after people would be like, are you in United? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I was like, no.
They never told me.
Yeah, no one ever asked.
Sometimes the only way through it is a hallelujah. The only way through it is a hallelujah. Sometimes the only thing to do is just to give it to.
What inspired you to make a full worship album? Like, where did these songs originate from?
Well, yes. Yeah, so many of them are like, there's one original, like original, one new, they're all originals, but there's one new, there's one brand new song called Agenda. And it kind of starts by summarizing like the album to come. So it's like the first line in it is, so if you compiled my whole life's work, my worth, what I call worship, sure you find both praise and pride. And it kind of starts, so it's almost like saying like, hey, here's like a, here's all my best things, just kind of like put in front. And there's a weird kind of, I guess I was wrestling with the juxtaposition of like, okay, this is like a worship album. So it's not about me. It's about like kind of like redirecting attention and glory to God. But at the same time, it's like kind of like a greatest hits. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like, it's kind of, there's a weird thing happening here where it's like, this is meant to be about God, but I'm really just like putting all my best things together and being like, I'm probably just overthinking, but that was why I wrote that, because I was like, there's obviously a little bit of pride in this. Like, I'm kind of just like, it's meant to be worship. And these songs to me are, they all mean something really special to me. Like the season for each of them, they kind of happened at a different part of life. They, a lot of them really changed my life. And a lot of them kind of were written, I'd say in specific circumstances, but many of them were kind of just written almost intuitively or instinctively. And then like years later, you realize like, oh, that's what that meant. Or like, oh, that's why I wrote this. Cause it's like, now I'm living this. I have to like, either for better or worse, like walk through what I said, or now this is helping me.
That was Benjamin William Hastings. Make sure to check out his brand new album, Songs You Maybe Didn't Know I Wrote and Some You Maybe Did. Stay tuned. Up next, it's your feedback. Listening to Beeson, the song is I Haven't Seen You Since the Summer.
What if you could change a child's life with just $10? Right now, thousands of vulnerable children in East Africa are suffering from jiggers. It's a painful, preventable parasite that burrows into their feet. Soul Hope is the only organization treating it through foot washing, medical care, and durable closed-toed shoes that protect kids long after treatment. $10 may not seem like much in today's world, but when we come together, those small gifts add up to big change. Join the 10 for 10 campaign. $10 protects 10 small toes. Visit soulhope.org/10 to give now. One small gift makes a big difference. Again, that's soulhope, soulehope.org/TEN. Today's show is brought to you in part by the new documentary, Buying Her. Why is sex trafficking a multi-billion dollar industry? Sex buyers. To end trafficking, we need to put them in the spotlight. The documentary Buying Her, created by the organization Exodus Cry, is a first-of-its-kind film exposing the truth about sex buyers. It captures the unfiltered stories of men revealing how they became predatory consumers and the booming sex trade, and how some of them found redemption. Buying Her strikes at the very heart of sex trafficking, and it's available to watch now for free at buyingher.com.
Okay, it's time for your feedback. On last week's show, we got talking about the Zuckerberg-Musk fight that they have challenged each other to, right? And it got us thinking about other people that you would want to see in a fight and what the stakes would be. So we asked you guys this question on Twitter from the Relevant Podcast Twitter account, but get this. We also posted it over on Threads. This is an interesting thing. Twitter, maybe 3 replies. Threads, 50 replies.
Oh yeah, Threads is lit.
Threads is Threads a game is changer with Threads engagement. This is crazy.
Playing ball. Threads is playing ball for real.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into it yet.
I mean, I did my account, Jamie, but I'm off Instagram this month, so it's kind of weird for me not to be able to be over there hanging out.
I've heard
people love it.
The craziest thing is we have like 250,000 people following Relevant on Twitter, and we'll post an article and it'll get 3 likes. Okay. And we post the same post over on Threads. We have maybe 7,000 followers on Threads right now, because it's, you know, building 7,000. It'll have 40 likes, 9 comments. Like, it's a game changer on engagement. It's crazy. The audience size is way smaller for us over there. Obviously, mm-hmm. it'll build in time, but it's like, you know, that tweet, because you can see the impressions now, that tweet got shown to 2,000 of our 250,000 followers. And on Threads, it got shown to all 7,000 of the followers. And right. so engagement is like 30-fold. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Twitter is cooked right now. Like,
it's cooked.
Yeah, Twitter is cooked. I just deleted it off my phone.
Wow.
Let me ask you guys this then. When you sign into Threads, do you guys get random videos of moped accidents and unsolicited crypto advice? Because I think I'll stick to Twitter. Thanks.
Right. That's the point. Like, it's like, for me, Twitter is so much going on. Like, I when I get off of Twitter, I feel just gross. Like, I'm like, man, it's just like, there's nothing of value a lot of times. And I know people will say it's your timeline and people you follow, but my Instagram's not like that. My yeah. TikTok's not like that. My YouTube isn't like that. But Twitter is just like, man, Elon cooked it, man. Like,
man, I was over on Threads, and I was like, Threads. I was on it for like 10 minutes yesterday, and then went over to Twitter, and it was like ad, post, fight, post, ad. It was like crazy cluttery, all these scammers, people trying to sell you their eBooks or their courses, all these things that are just like, I don't want any of this. And so I closed and went back over to Threads, because it was just the stuff I follow.
Twitter's like checking the spam folder of an old Hotmail account.
Yes, it is. That is exactly what yes. it is.
That's what it's become. You know
wow.
I mean? Like, what an email from grandma from 4 years ago might have slipped through the cracks. So you got to peek at it every once in a while, you know?
Right.
But mostly you got to roll up your sleeves and know what you're getting into, you know?
Yeah, man. All right. Well, we asked you, what are two notable people that you want to see in a fight, and what would they fight over? So here are some of our favorite replies.
There's some funny ones in here.
All right. Damn. So I'm going to go with Andy Kimball. His was great. And this, he says Zelensky versus Putin. And he says, I don't think I need to add anymore. And I like this, because I'm like, yeah, let them kids go home, man. Just let them two fight it out. And whoever wins, wins.
I like it.
We know who would win.
Who? Yeah.
You think one of them looks all buff and like one of them take on.
Have you seen Putin? No, Putin? He like riding a bear, shirtless.
Yeah, yeah, Putin. Like,
hey, but he Putin feels like he's like different. An old, used up. He's like 70. Thinks. Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the odds of any 70-year-old versus any 45-year-old. It seems like elder abuse to me. just the suggestion of it. Michael Jordan versus Michael B. Jordan would be fun.
Yes.
Loser has to change their name like to Sam it. Jones. I always thought it was a bold move. Even though he threw the B in there, I always thought it was a bold move that he went Michael B. Jordan. Like, there's plenty of actors that have Hollywood names. You know, you're competing yeah. with arguably, if you had to say top five most famous names in the last 20 years, that might be top three. And he straight up, you know, just went into Hollywood being Michael B. Jordan.
Well, let's talk about the bold move that his parents made. Hey, I got an idea. Let's name him. I don't know how old Michael B. Jordan is, but surely Jordan was like Michael Jordan by that
but
time.
He could have gone by Michael.
Of course he was.
But he could have gone
I think
by
his
Mike.
His parents were bold.
But he's going by Michael. Okay. He could have gone by Mike Jordan. And it wouldn't been that, you know what I mean? People wouldn't have had the instant association. But he straight up went with the Michael. You know what I mean? Like, that was double bold. Yeah.
Adam Davis said, Toby Mack versus Michael Tate versus Kevin Max. Winner gets to be the only one to play Jesus Freak from now on. I think that's the funniest thing. You go see like Audio Adrenaline or whatever, and Michael Tate's the singer, and they end it with Jesus Freak. It's like, this wasn't an Audio Adrenaline song. But anyway, I like that one. The stakes are right.
That always brings, sorry, if a band has zero original members, is it still the band? Because isn't that the case with some of those like old school, like Christian art?
I think randomly, like the keyboardist is the same one or something, but most of the guys are different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy Little said, Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore, the winner gets to be president of the SBC and make whatever changes they want.
I like it.
I think like both of them will be like, I forfeit. I'm out. You can take it.
Well, I don't want that mess.
I think what will happen is they'll have to team up and fight the SBC. which I would take their odds.
I feel like Joyce Meyer's got them hands, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. I feel like Joyce Meyer got them hands.
I wouldn't mess with her.
She just looked like she got them hands for real.
I wouldn't mess with her either.
Yeah.
She's got that voice grandma choice, strength. Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, David brought up a good thing. This brings back celebrity deathmatch vibes. Remember the little claymation MTV series?
Mm-hmm. I used to love that show.
They should. They should bring that back. I mean, obviously, there's an appetite for it, according to Threads.
Side note, Joyce Meyer has looked the same for the past 40 years.
Well, thank her surgeon for that.
I don't know. Some people rapidly hit an age and pause there. I've said it before. It's like what happened to Steve Martin when he's like 27. He became 50 and just stuck. Like,
right.
Go watch Father of the Bride for like 30 years
ago.
He's
like our age.
Only Murders. Literally like 30, 35 years have transpired. Here's the point. The kid in that movie is Kieran Culkin, right? Like, you watch
Roman?
He's on Succession now, and he's the little kid. Steve Martin just paused. Roman's whole life went by.
That's a fact, man.
I do think our grandparents' generation, they look like a grandma at like 35, and they look like the same grandma at like 80. So, you know, there is something to be said about that.
Yeah.
You know the Berenstain Bears, book or the comic? The mom is 27 and the dad is 29 series.
Ain't no way.
Absolutely.
Ain't no way.
Look at the
way.
Age of the kids. Yeah, I read that yesterday. Look at the age of the kids.
Okay.
They're in their upper 20s.
That's this fiction. One will, I saw this the other day. I want to confirm, I'm doing a quick fact check. In the film Lethal Weapon with Danny Glover and Mel Gibson back in the day, right? The most famous line in that movie is when Danny Glover, who, you know, you can see the receding hair. He's got the mustache. He looks.
Yeah, he looked 55 years old.
He says, "I'm getting too old for this bleep." Like, that's the famous line. Right. His character is 43 years old in that film.
Wow.
I feel like most 43-year-olds right now are just warming up. And he's getting too old for it.
All right. Well, there's a lot more where that came from. Go check out all the replies on the Relevant Magazine Threads account if you are no longer on Twitter like most people. All right. It's time for this week's
editorial question of the week.
So earlier we were talking about lies, like, you know, lying about going to Alliance University because nobody can check anymore, you know, that kind of thing. So we want to know, this is for all family here, you know, this is a safe space. And so we want to know, what's a lie that you've told and you've been holding on to? Hit us up on Threads at Relevant Magazine, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Relevant Podcast and tell us a lie that you have told in your life. That maybe nobody knows the truth.
Get it off your chest.
Here's the thing. If you want to be anonymous, just say.
Yeah, yeah. You just say, don't say my name.
There's a person that did this.
I heard about.
Right? I heard about.
A friend of mine.
There's a friend of mine. Asking for a friend. Telling a friend's story, right?
Yes.
And we're going to know that it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wink, wink.
So, because I guess it would be a public post. So you could say, like, to answering our question, you say, well, my friend did a thing that whatever, and we'll wink, wink, know.
Right. We know.
It just makes me really nervous that someone's going to be like, well, I don't have anything, but let me tell you about my friend, John Michael Smith, that lives down the road. He needs to confess.
He set a building on fire last night in Virginia with a Trump flag.
I once. Oh. And didn't tell anybody for years.
Are you kidding? Delete this, Jason. Delete this.
Yeah, actually, Jason, delete that. You can leave it in this part where we're telling you to delete what I just told them. But yeah, go ahead and delete that.
Somebody may
be walking with a limp. Somebody in Tulsa might be walking with a limp right now.
I'm trying to save you, Shawty.
It was October 5th, 1994. If it was you, please send an email to.
I'm very sorry.
Cameron Latravius Strange.
Bro. Dude, I was different era.
Is that true?
Yes.
It's not
and
true.
You were sober.
It's not true.
Yeah, of course I was sober. I didn't have a drink until I was 27.
But it's not true. He's just pulling our leg. Let's go.
Yeah, what's plausible deniability? I don't want to know.
It's not true. He was just playing. Right?
All right.
Yeah. Let's go. Keep going.
all jokes.
Anyway, so hit us up. Tell us your deep. Tell us a lie that you've been holding on to, and we will read them anonymously on next week's show.
Don't incriminate
yourself.
And then
go tell Jesus. Go tell Jesus your lie too. Go ahead and do that too, guys.
Oh, I'm nervous. All right. I'm nervous.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Benjamin William Hastings for joining us. Make sure to check out his brand new album. Comes out today. It's called Songs You Maybe Didn't Know I Wrote and Some You Maybe Did. It's available everywhere. Also, if you haven't checked out the summer issue of Relevant yet, you should. It's available for free at relevantmagazine.com. Just click on the magazine tab. You can check out our amazing cover story with Lauren Daigle. We also have artists like Arizona, Drew Holcomb, Naomi Rain, and a lot more. Some amazing think pieces, too. It's a great issue. It's available for free. If you want to get the beautifully designed enhanced edition, it's part of your Relevant Plus membership. You can find out all the info about Relevant Plus there at the website as well. You get ad-free unlimited reading at the website, an ad-free version of this podcast, and more. Plans start as low as $2.50 a month. It is the best way to experience our content. Also, if you want to keep in touch with everything we're doing and covering throughout the day, obviously follow us on all the socials. Follow us on Threads at Relevant Magazine. And if you're not a social media person, you can sign up for our daily newsletter right there at relevantmagazine.com. You get our top 5 trending stories sent to your inbox every weekday morning. It's right there on the article pages on the right column, and also at the homepage you can sign up. All right. On that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Jamie Ivey.
We will see y'all on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
You all got faith in the church? What's up?
Relevant Podcast Network.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.